1906. January 17th, 1906. How the growth of the gospel seed is hindered. Ellen G. White. The Savior said again, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful." Those who do not follow true Christian principles, whose natural and cultivated tendencies to wrong have not been changed by the grace of God, have no root in themselves, and therefore they lose the interest which they once felt in the truth. They return to their sinful practices. They may continue to make a profession of Christianity, but they do not go on from grace to grace. For a time they are neither cold nor hot, but they finally become hardened to all good impressions. They grow careless, worldly, inattentive. They hear the truth but do not receive it. Of this class Christ says, "Every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell, and great was the fall of it." Of Chorazin and Bethsaida, cities in which so many of Christ's mighty works were done, which were exalted to heaven by being honored with his presence, the Savior declared, "Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works, which were done in you, had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works, which have been done in thee, had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." Those who have been favored with great light and many opportunities, but who have not accepted the light, nor improved the opportunities, who have not followed correct principles in dealing with their brethren or with unbelievers, will receive punishment in accordance with their sin. They will meet with some sad surprises in the last great day, when every case shall be brought up in review before God. In their record, they will see that which will fill them with shame, but nothing can be changed. All is beyond recall. Christ has made every provision for the sanctification of his church. He has made abundant provision for every soul to have such grace and strength that he will be more than a conqueror in the warfare against sin. The Savior is wounded afresh and put to open shame when his people pay no heed to his word. He came to this world and lived a sinless life, that in his power his people might also lead lives of sinlessness. He desires them, by practicing the principles of truth, to show to the world that God's grace has power to sanctify the heart. Mrs. E. G. White, December 19th, 1906. How shall we observe the holidays? Ellen G. White, Sanitarium, California, December 6th, 1906. For we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. Shall we follow Christ as our pattern? In his life of self-sacrifice was seen not one jot or tittle of selfishness. He who had been rich in the heavenly courts left all his wealth and power, and came to this world, clothed in the humble garb of humanity. For our sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Like him, his followers are by lives of self-denial to be a blessing to the world. If in the lives of all God's people the character of Christ were revealed, we should see thousands more converted to the truth. If men would only remember that every favor they receive is a gift from God, would they not do very much more than they are now doing to relieve His work of the embarrassment of poverty? Would they not act a noble part in rendering to the Lord that which is His own?
Wealth hoarded will become a curse. Often, the Lord cannot preserve and bless the possessions of men, because the owners feel little or no obligation to assist in the great work of proclaiming the truth in new fields. Their substance, generously divided with their brethren, who are laboring with meager facilities in destitute fields, would bring in return rich blessings from God. No charity is complete unless it reveals an appreciation of the gospel. Those who now, in this time of emergency, selfishly hold on to their means will soon suffer the loss of all they have. Those who are truly converted and who have more than sufficient for their immediate necessities will freely impart of their abundance to help those who are poorer than they. All should feel an intense interest in the advancement of the third angel's message. The work of proclaiming this message has already grown to large proportions, but it is to advance still more rapidly. We need many more laborers, and God's loyal people, filled with a spirit of self-denial, should now give cheerfully and liberally in order that facilities may be provided for the entering of new territory. In many places, the work has been retarded because of the scarcity of means. The rebuke of God will rest upon those who do not come up to His help against the mighty powers of darkness. Shall we not, as a people, refrain from following the custom of the world in unnecessary indulgence during the coming holiday season? Oh, how much might be accomplished in needy mission fields with the money that is squandered in various ways at this season of the year by those who profess to be Christians. Will not the Seventh-day Adventists in every place first consecrate themselves to the Lord, and then do their very best, according to their circumstances, to advance His work by gifts and offerings? Will they show that they appreciate the blessings of the Lord, and that they are grateful for His mercy? Will they not now consider their obligations to God, at a time when the world especially seeks for pleasure, and expends large sums of money for gifts to those who are not needy? I have said to my family and my friends, I desire that no one shall make me a birthday or Christmas gift, unless it be with permission to pass it on into the Lord's treasury, to be appropriated in the establishment of missions. I will greatly praise the name of the Lord if His people, at this time, by the exercise of benevolence, will increase the facilities for successful work in many needy fields. I long to see among Seventh-day Adventists an increase of faith and courage, and more praise and thanksgiving to God, so that where in the past there has been a withholding of means, there shall from henceforth be seen the evidences of a grateful heart, the faithful bestowal of gifts and offerings, to supply the needs of many destitute fields. Ellen G. White.